Oh, dear. Peter Michaels.
Patrick Bateman.
How are you?
Good, you? I feel like it's been a while.
It has been a while. It's been a while since we hung out here for the Road to the Stage. Last time we had an episode, you did a solo interview with Trevor Hurst.
That's right. You're actually right back here at the back patio.
Yeah, but it wasn't in this.
Wasn't in here.
Cage.
The cage was still being developed, I think, at that time.
We're about getting ready to ship overseas.
Is this... Maybe this is like a new wrestling thing. We're inside the cage.
Red Deer is trading four humans for a load of semiconductors.
It's the Road to Stage podcast with our special guests, the Royal Foundry.
Jared and Beth, hello.
Hello.
Hello. So good to see you.
So it's funny, we were just having some camera issues before we got rolling. And I actually, for the first time in 2.5 years of doing this podcast, I don't know if, guys, I love you guys so much. I want this to go smoothly. I had a podcast nightmare last night.
Whoa.
I lost sleep over how well this, and honest to God, one of it was some camera issues. The first thing was,
what?
Is I knew that, like, it's just the two of you, but for some reason in my nightmare, you brought along like six other people. And so we had to have this great big huge table of everybody all around it. And there was trying to figure out how things were going to get filmed. And then I couldn't hear the person that was on the opposite corner of me. And that freaked me out. And then we moved to a different room. And then we got halfway through the interview and things. I'm like, God, things are going really good. Things are going really good. And then you got up and noticed that the cap was still on the camera. So, gosh, I hope this goes well.
We could grab six people from.
Yeah. No. We don't need to bring a nightmare to life.
Do you guys ever have like pre-show nightmares, pre-tour nightmares? Anything related to your work?
Oh, we have a few cables and one power supply to one of our units that is so specific that if you're in a small enough town, like, you will never find
it. I mean, it's happened to us before, and I think that's the recurring nightmare. Like, it's always like you wake up and you're like, I have to make sure that we have this and this and this and this.
Yeah. There's been so many times where we've flown in to do a show, and then that night, even though I knew I checked everything off and, like, packed it up, I have to set up everything in our hotel room. And I'm like, all right, it's all here. It's all over. We're good. We're good.
And you learned that from previous experiences?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's like a living nightmare, you know, one that you've lived and then you can relive it over and over and over again.
Not a nightmare.
Well, let's talk about
a good way to learn.
Just our life.
A little bit about the Royal Foundry stage production, because that's one of the things I've noticed about you. It doesn't matter if you're on a smaller stage in a smaller room or a great big stage. You guys put an awful lot into the production and, like, even just the visuals that are going out there, right? Like, you've got the light kit around the drum and you've got the crown lit up. So where did the interest come in that, of making sure that you're putting on a visual show as well?
Well, I mean, it just comes from playing with a lot of other bands and, you know, you steal some ideas. And but like, really, though, you're inspired, and we've seen other bands with little lighting rigs that it's modular and you can put anywhere, and we're like, oh, that seems great, because you never know what you're getting.
And you talk to those bands too, and you're just like, oh, that is so cool. Like, is like, they obviously don't have a guy doing their lighting for them, so how did you, like, did you program it yourself? Like, what did you program with it? And so after years of doing that, we, you know, you figure out all these different loops and, like, kind of janky connections to try to, like, make it work. And then some company in Australia is just like, here you guys go.
Yeah, of course.
And we're like, oh my gosh, we've been trying to figure this out for years. And that's how it happened.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Every stage I've seen you guys on and perform on, you know, it's a stunning visual as well as all the audio that's going on too.
It's been a few years since I've seen you as well. Last time would have been here, but like we discussed, probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, too long.
Which is crazy. But I know you saw Royal Foundry. When was that?
Was it like a few months ago?
2 or 3 months ago.
February?
It was March.
March,
end of March.
Yeah.
March 29th.
Oh.
So you've got a good idea of what to expect. You've seen a more advanced version of Royal Foundry than I have.
Yes. Yeah. Well, then that's, like I say, I think that's the first time that you guys had that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The light around the drum and everything. Yeah. And it's, again, just on a smaller stage, you don't usually see that kind of spectacle come along with a smaller stage as well, which is great.
And it takes, like, working, like, going on tour across Canada or even in Europe and playing these smaller stages, and, like, sometimes they don't have lights. And you're like, well, if you're part of especially, like, a showcase or even a festival, like, you want to be able to, like, one-up your situation. You know what I mean? In like the most practical and easy sense. And I think that's where you just have to try and figure things out. Like every time you do a tour, you want to like one up what you did last tour. So you want like new music, but with something visual. And then you want to tie that visual to like maybe the theme of your tour or whatever. So we kind of kept like the circular theme going with like our tour posters and stuff. And then with the album and all that kind of stuff. So it's a fun creative process when you are able to like start from your new work of art and then to just roll with it in a way. And the nice thing about this lighting rig that Jared built, I might add, on his own, and he figured it out on his own, is that you can add to it and you can like change the shape of it because it's just all like LED lighting and stuff like that. And you have just like, you know, the world is your oyster.
Full customization opportunities.
Were there any artists or shows you went to, you know, maybe when you were a kid or younger, that you looked at the visual of that show and went, I want to do that someday? Like, do you have any inspiration?
We've talked about this a little bit before, I think.
Yeah. To say anyone specific would be hard, but yeah.
Like Arcade Fire, when they were in Edmonton a few years ago, was the last like big concert we went to.
And was that the Reflector tour or the?
No, it was everything. Now.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
They had the boxing ring, and they like came out. The stage was in the center of like the like on the floor basically, and they came out with robes and like gloves and like went through the crowd, and then eventually over the course of the evening, the it was just these four posts in each corner that just lit up. The ropes, essentially. There were no ropes, it was just lights, and it was really cool. And then the lights kind of turned into this whole big thing. But that was, like, a really unique version of, like, a really fun... Probably had nothing to do with their album or anything, but it was really
But the
really
biggest
cool.
thing is having something custom, because it's, like, stage lights look great, and they serve their purpose, and they look awesome, but, like, just adding something that's... a little different, you know, just
and gonna stand out because again, I can, you know, that show was 4 months ago, but I can still visually remember exactly how everything looked that night.
And I think, I think the first people we saw with something like that was We Are the City. They had some integrated, they're Vancouver based, and they had some integrated light thing with time to their music, and I was like, ooh,
and it was back in the day when the only lights you could get were like those. Those like stick lights that were just like a line or whatever, and then they had like just
all
a
before
bunch of
LED.
Yeah,
before the RGB craze of computer nerds in the 2020s. Yeah,
totally. And now you have like so many options. Like it's really cool to. And we had the entire pandemic to figure it out. So that also helped.
So when the pandemic started, you guys were in Nashville. You'd been there for a year or two at that point, I think.
5 years.
Yeah. Holy shit! Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And then you decided to maybe we get back north of the border, ride this thing out.
Yeah. I mean, we had every intention of going back. Like, we really love the city, but the longer we stayed in Canada, the more we were like, you know what, I do love summers that it doesn't get dark until midnight.
Yeah.
As opposed to like every night at 6 p.m. it's like dark in Nashville, and you're just like, it, you know, it does something to you when you grow up in this world.
People talk about seasonal depression in Canada, but I felt more seasonal depression at a 6 p.m. pitch black in the summer.
That's wild.
Like, honestly, as soon as we hit the solstice and I know we start losing daylight, I immediately am like, oh man, the days are getting shorter now. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's still like last night, I think it was still like 10:30.
Yeah,
still
it's great.
But I'm already fearing where it's going.
Yeah,
I know. I totally feel you. I live for the sun, and their winter sucked also. So
how did Tennessee winter suck though? Just because you're on the East Coast?
Gloomy. It's like it's overcast and rainy, and they'll get a bit of snow. Like, nobody knows how to drive in Nashville.
Oh, if it snowed, we're staying in. Yeah, we don't trust you.
How often would it snow though? Like,
a few times a year.
Okay. Yeah.
And it would be like really like the worst that they struggle with is freezing rain. And so that's obviously, like, incredibly damaging.
Yeah.
But it's just so gloomy all the time, and there is no sunshine. And at least here in our winters, it's, like, minus 40, but it's, like, the sun is out.
You can see it.
For a little while.
Yeah.
Most days of the week.
Yeah.
But it's just so Nashville tourism doesn't come at us.
But we loved it.
The food scene in Nashville is incredible.
The hot chicken, all the food.
And the beer scene.
And the beer scene as well,
Oh, man, there is amazing, like, microbreweries that were... so good. I mean, what other adjective can you use for that? Like,
super great.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, the food was amazing, and it's a really cool, vibey city.
Yeah.
But
we would like to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bucket list city for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone needs to in their lifetime. It's a very unique situation, and everyone makes fun of Nashville because it is like bachelorette, like destination, and every weekend, like if. Like, you have to go to Broadway. You've got to go to all the, like, the bars and the jazz clubs and everything like that. But it's just packed full of tourism.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, I was reading a social media post the other day about San Francisco. And it had a picture of Alcatraz. And it said, you know, prove that you're a true San Franciscan by saying you've never been here. And there's so many people that are like, yep, I was born and raised in San Francisco. I've never been to Alcatraz.
Yeah.
So it is. I mean, those places are all going to be just tourists.
Yeah. I mean, everyone avoids Broadway mostly. Like, it's because it's just hard to even maneuver anywhere around there.
Avoids but appreciates. Yeah, like, that's the economy. Yeah.
Like, that's where they get their money from.
Right.
It's,
yeah.
But they don't put the money towards public transportation. And so it's
just going hard on them right
now. Oh, man. Well, it's because, you know, we live there. So
let's dig into the issues of Nashville's infrastructure.
Yes. It was, they're really struggling, and I hope that they get their act together.
Do you think that, because Tennessee's been in the news over the last couple of months with some pretty backwards laws, would that impact your ability to live there?
Oh, I mean, most people that we met while we were down there have since left.
Yeah.
Like, it's the South, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how much you can take before you end up just saying, like, how many people have left California and moved to Texas? I mean, that seems to be, like, the biggest trend in the U.S. for a lot of reasons, like
save tax money
reasons especially.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think every state has their issue. I mean, I think that was kind of a big factor for us coming back to Canada, too, especially during the pandemic, is, like, there was just so, it was just messy.
Who knows what my state is going to do as far as pandemic rules and regulations. Yeah.
Well, and then, so what if it's... So you went from Nashville straight back to Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was there any thought at anywhere else? Like, given, you know, I mean, the music can be done from just about anywhere now, but was there a thought of, you know, we have to be in a Vancouver, or we need to be in a Toronto, or we need to be in an LA?
We considered everywhere.
I think because of our experience being in a, you know, in Music City, we were kind of like, no, we don't need to be in Vancouver. We don't need to be in Toronto. Like, everything can be done you know, via the internet.
Yeah.
And if we need to go there, we can fly in and save a ton of money on rent.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, we were just talking
about your friends different. Like leaving Toronto because they can no longer afford. And, you know, we just spent time touring with a band out there, and they're in the same boat where they're all living in downtown. And it's like, how do you even get the band together to do rehearsal when it costs how much money to even get to a rehearsal space,
how much time to pay for a rehearsal space,
how much to even, it's just, everything is costing so much more that, you know, we are very happy to.
But we grew up here and we love Alberta.
And our family's here too. That's the biggest thing for us as well. And, but it was the house that brought us here.
I was going to say, I remember talking to you saying that, because I said, like, why there?
Here?
And it's just you found the house that was the house you wanted.
House.
And
yes.
Yeah.
There's space for a garden.
Yeah, space for a garden, space for a studio, space for a dog.
Yep. Space for the
dog.
That's number
one. Well, let's go ahead. Let's talk about Alfie.
Oh, my gosh. Alfie is so cute. He's
adorable.
I had a dog in when I was growing up in high school. However, I was too young to really take care of it and take any ownership. And I'm pretty sure the dog hated me at the time. So my relationship to dogs was that, and it was not a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Jared never grew up with a dog at all. And so when we decided to get a dog, which happened literally in a span of like 3 hours of like, yes, we're going to get this dog. And then we picked him up. We were just thrown into this whole big emotional mess of like, oh my gosh, like, what is happening? Can we do this?
Yeah.
Like, and a part of my heart that I didn't know existed just opened up, and I just love him. I love him.
And he's in doggy daycare now?
He's at doggy daycare. And I don't know if he likes
it. We're sad.
But you won't be able to get him tonight, right?
No.
No.
Oh. Not banging on the door at
early
2 in the
morning.
So, and
artist parent pickup.
You have to do doggy daycare somewhat regularly, I'm imagining, being a touring band. So
we've
how
done
is
it. This is our second time.
We've avoided it by giving him to family as much as possible.
So the last time you did it, Was there, did Alfie have a different behavior when you picked him up from doggy daycare?
No, he was good. He was
no
good.
Attitude.
Yeah. He was very excited.
Yeah. You guys are lucky. I have my dog who normally when he sits in the back of my truck will face forward.
Yeah.
But whenever I get him from the kennel, he looks out the back window the whole time. That's the only time he ever looks out the back window.
He wants you to know.
He wants.
He's not happy.
I'm not
happy.
You left me.
So you try to do that.
Oh man.
We try to do it sparingly. Yeah.
We just give him like treats and stuff. We've given him to my parents' house. Like when we did our tour in Ontario, we were gone for 3 weeks, just over 3 weeks. And when we first went to pick him up, he was like very excited to see us, but then he kind of avoided us for I would say the rest of the day. Like we drove through the night. Like we drove from, I think we stayed in we drove from Montreal all the way back to northern Saskatchewan to pick up our dog. And he just was so excited, but then he's just like, he has this, the same attitude.
Got a little shunning.
Like,
Remembers the betrayal.
He's like, where have you
been? And then his commands were a little slower. He's like, oh, we're going to get this back.
Yeah, get that retention going again. Is 2023 an important year for you too? As Royal Foundry?
Are we in 2023
We are.
Now? Okay.
We are.
Okay. I was like, yes, it's going to be a great year.
What day is it?
Do you consider this a big anniversary year?
It is an anniversary year.
Is it not 10 years?
It is 10 years.
Wow. In a few months,
Wow. Thanks for reminding me.
So you haven't that has not factored into your
okay. We live and breathe and work together, so I feel like this is we're microwaved our relationship and the band in a lot of respects. I feel like we've been together for 40 years. Anniversaries mean nothing to me.
In a good way. It's been a great 40 years.
This means nothing.
It's just time. I don't... 10 years seems like a big number, though.
It does.
So what about for, do you celebrate birthdays? Is it, is it just the anniversary stuff? Or
I don't
what?
Like birthdays.
Okay. No, we're pretty... we don't celebrate anything. We just have fun days together randomly.
We have too many fun days that another day comes along and we are like, another one? I'm exhausted from the last one that we did four.
And then it's like, what did you do for Valentine's? And we're like, what?
Nothing.
Oh. That one's pretty lame every year.
Yeah.
All the time.
10 years, many years.
But now, so I just want to clarify. I'm talking 10 years of the band.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
I mean, we're working on new music.
Yeah.
That was my next question. It's been
to release
13 months.
Not in 10 years.
10 years. Man, you're stressing me out on that. That's a big number.
I'd say it's a decent time to reflect.
It is a decent time.
I think you guys should feel pretty good, pretty proud about. I mean,
I'm trying to think when would we have first would have crossed paths, probably 2016, 17?
Yeah, somewhere around there we would have been first doing radio.
2017 was our first album.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So, you know, our folk duo days
were
a blip. It was such a rando, unorganized, this is, we have a studio, let's write songs, and then, we've got 10 of them, let's make an album. And it was just kind of this, I feel like it's almost like a haze. We were trying to figure out our way through what we were going to do with our lives.
Yeah.
And then for it to turn into something like this and never to have the conversation of let's get married and start a band and this is going to be our life. It was more of just we do music. I mean, I didn't even do music before I met Jared. So I don't know, it's weird. 10 years.
It's wild.
So no singing before you'd met Jared?
You were singing.
Any girl would sing,
in the shower. My mom,
but you weren't doing talent shows through high school, or
my mom would tell me to do things.
Beth's
for
being
church
modest. She played Annie in the
high school musicals.
In Annie, get
Come
your
on.
Gun.
I did that for
in Annie. Get your
I wish I was cool.
Wait, Annie in what?
In Annie.
Annie. Okay,
musical for high school. High school doesn't count. Anything you do in high school is just
it's
depends what high school.
Yeah.
Some high schools take that drama shit pretty seriously.
That's true. I did it for the credits so that I could graduate half a year early.
Oh, nice, nice.
Which I did. So.
Well, congrats on 10 years of Royal Foundry.
Thank you.
Wow, thank you so much.
I think that's pretty cool.
10 years.
It's wild.
That's worth celebrating for sure.
Yeah.
And then, so how many years together then?
10.
So it's all started all at the same time.
All at the same time, wow. Yeah.
So you have to keep the band going.
I guess so.
Yeah, yeah.
what other
one fails,
do we have?
The other.
So there's no.
They're intertwined. The fate of the ring.
How much vaulting of stuff do you have? Like, is there stuff that you know you've recorded and haven't? Like, you could do a 10th anniversary edition of
so many
so much.
Terrible
we
songs.
Could release and ruin our reputation.
Oh my gosh.
In,
it would be an embarrassment
in one night. Yes.
No, we. Like,
how often do you go back and listen to the stuff that you did when you first got together?
We should start doing that on the podcast.
I was thinking the same thing, honestly. Like, it's but
playing
it's, I mean,
our,
that's
our bad demos.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Remember this song?
we did that with like the albums, yeah. Like our drive to Ontario. We also did in one rung, and it was
rung.
I like that. I like that. It works.
Like it.
It works.
Is that not the same?
It does work. Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Or is it?
I'm always run? Adding G's to things too. So yeah.
That's true. But yeah. You do that to make fun of things. No. No, we listened to our album. It was like probably 2 a.m. We were driving through Chicago on our way to Ontario, and we listened to all of our albums one after the other, and I was like. I felt pretty good about like
that's
listening
gotta be
back
nice.
To
yeah.
It.
We were ready to be disappointed.
I really
and laughing,
was. I was expecting to be like shaking my head and cringing on the inside, but I was I was pretty happy.
I think
about
you're
it.
Ahead of most there.
Yeah, that's. I feel like. Did you have to work yourself up to do that?
Oh, it took like
years?
Most of the trip. Well, I can't even tell you the last time we listened to it. Like even this last album, like we play the songs like so many times, but to listen to it from front to back. Probably since we got our vinyl done. Like, that was the last time we probably listened to our full album.
Now, you said something while we were just getting ready, too, that it kind of caught my interest a little bit. But you said you don't listen to music that much?
No.
That's what you picked up on.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it's so interesting to me. And actually, I think
I think
on one of your, I think the last tour blog video that you did for this most recent tour, you talked about driving home, I think, from Ontario with no music, no podcasts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can barely drive to the town 15 minutes away without having music going.
Oh, you guys can sit with your own thoughts pretty well, eh?
That's insane.
That's impressive.
We can actually have a conversation.
There's noise going on. You play, you know, how many shows in a row, and your brain is just like fried, and you're like, and socially too, being pretty
reflect.
Introverted.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
like, all right, let's just
we debrief even
like
after
talk or just even sit in silence and just like have a moment. We don't always do that,
which
but
I guess
was,
you can do through
really
most
nice.
Of Ontario. But as you're coming across Manitoba and Saskatchewan, that's got to get a little dry.
Well, through the U.S., it's a lot more scenic. But it is still like
until
once you
hit
North
Dakota,
Dakota
it's
pretty much
Saskatchewan.
Yeah. No, we.
Now, do you work on ideas at all, like, or is it just a straight?
You know, that is a great way that we've made it through the night before. We've driven through the night too many times, and it's dangerous, and we shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But if we play voice memos, ideas we have.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's like it gets your brain just firing.
Wakes you up
and
a
then
bit.
Totally better than caffeine, and you're just like, oh, and what if we put that there, and what if that goes there, and sometimes something comes together there.
That's like our special thing that we keep as long as possible, so that when we're like in the wee hours
4
of the
a.m., you're
just
like,
all right,
crank it.
Yeah, let's put this
on.
But yeah, other than that, Jared and I, we don't really go to shows much either. Like we.
You can't really nowadays. You guys aren't living in very close vicinity to live shows.
Yeah.
But
when
we were like, oh, yeah. I mean, if they were playing right outside of my door, I would go.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It's always been, like, I'm pretty sure the last, like, concert that we paid for was Arcade Fire.
Yeah, it was.
In Edmonton.
It was years ago.
Probably 2018.
2018, something
so
like that.
So we're really lame in that sense. Even Nashville. I mean, we got a lot of free tickets when we were in Nashville. So, but the amount of times that we actually got out was like embarrassingly not enough.
But self-described homebody, right?
Yeah.
Which is, and would you consider yourself? And I know, like, we talk about this in radio all the time as well. That like radio is an industry that's filled with a lot of extroverted introverts. Mm-hmm. I find because it's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it
just seems so strange to be up in front of. Hundreds, thousands of people and be introverted. But I think it's the same thing with a lot of musicians as well. It's just, you know, it's the passion that you have. It's what you do. It's how you like to express yourself.
Yeah.
And it just so happens you do that in front of a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure.
But that doesn't make you extroverted.
No. You just flip a switch and then you know, and then you're exhausted the next day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then do you find, and I get this accusation from my wife quite a bit, that I'm two different people.
Yeah, interesting.
Because I am. When I'm at home, I'm the same way. I'm a homebody.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you can go out and MC an event or be at an event and talk to all these people.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get made fun of from our families a lot.
Yeah.
Like people who know us and they come to our show, which we hate. But they're always welcome.
But you know, you have your like show voice.
Yeah, like yeah. And it's a like, performance.
That's
I
not
mean,
how
it
you
has
talk.
To be. We try it. Like we're pretty authentic, I think, in a lot of things. But there are things that we forcefully do for the sake of, you know,
our. If we spoke exactly. like how we normally speak, it wouldn't be very engaging.
Oh, every single. It reminds me. Okay, we did when we were first married. We went to Tedeschi Trucks Band. And it was probably one of the most hilarious situations because
First off, amazing band.
Oh. Like, we were just talking about
just
them an hour
about
ago.
Them before you guys
what?
Got
yeah, my buddy's seeing them tonight in Toronto, I think. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
No, they're amazing.
Incredible.
So good. Like, so, and so fun. Like, I don't know if they still do this, but they had, like, the whole brass section would just, like, walk off the stage and, like, come back with, like, a sandwich and just, like, back and forth because come do their little part and then they
head back to the green
room.
Oh,
it was just, it was so chill and it was so fun. But is it Tedeschi, the woman?
Yeah. Susan.
Susan Tedeschi.
She would just wail. And
oh,
it's
just
beautiful
her voice.
So much rasp and power. And then the song would finish and be like, thank you. And it's just, it was two different people.
Yeah. And I'm, like, I'm pretty sure, like,
I loved it, though.
That's exactly how I would, if I had, like, my own way up there, it would be like,
thanks.
A little more subdued.
Yeah.
So. Well, then, I mean, I think there's a certain value to keeping that energy for all aspects of the set instead of just the songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Tedeschi Trucks is kind of a weird example because they're some of the most talented musicians in the world. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
They can do whatever.
And it's also a sitting situation, typically, where you're just, like, there to listen.
Very specific crowd,
you're not
going
to be, like, rocking out.
Yeah.
We've purposely, like, designed our show to go from one song to the next very quickly.
To avoid
speaking in between, because that's not our strong suit. And
no, I disagree. I can't remember what the story was that you told.
He wants the banter.
But that, honestly, and I do love the banter.
Yeah.
But that show that you did in March, there was. Do you remember what it was? I remember you ended up having to talk for a little bit.
I'm always forced to talk, and I never am prepared.
Great.
I have some of the most embarrassing situations when I have to talk, because I once called a crowd superfluous. Because I was trying to think of a better word to use.
Than super,
And I was just, like, trying to think on the spot. And it just, like, I just get overwhelmed sometimes.
Yeah.
And then one time I had to share, like, one joke.
The funny thing, though, is half the crowd was like, yeah!
We're super!
We are! Yeah. So I've had really terrible moments that haunt me. And so every time I open my mouth, I'm like, I hope this goes well.
Is there anything you do before going on stage? Is there any routine that you have to kind of get that switch done?
I look at Jared and I go, don't ask me to say anything. But I have to if he, like, breaks a string or something. I'm the one
that's
like,
hey,
guys, how are we all feeling
it's
tonight?
The one thing that we've never prepared.
Yeah.
That
we
definitely
tried.
Should.
And we try. We were like, okay, this time we're going to be like, we're going to have these things memorized because we have to. We don't have the natural ability to just, like, take the crowd on a journey and a storytelling.
Here's my improv for a few minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I could see myself just starting to do an interpretive dance just to get away from talking in the mic. But it's...
People wouldn't forget that.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
So I feel like every time's different. We have lucked out before in some ways, but Jared has also cut me off a lot of times too, because I'll just take a left turn.
With signals.
The old hook.
Yeah.
Or just start playing her off like they do at the award shows.
We've been watching Matt Healy from 1975. They always interrupt him. And it's like a bit that they have going. So he'll start to say a problematic sentence. So he'll be like, you know, the thing about Asia. And then they go into lick and just cut him off.
Yeah.
And it's this whole shtick. It's great. Yeah.
He seems to be riding that shtick super hard.
It's pretty funny, though. I like it.
You were talking about making your set fairly seamless. We had Daniel Romano here about a month ago, 3 weeks ago, and it was a 55-minute set with no Not a single split second of break. It was like wild.
Honestly, everything, every song segued into the next. There was not even a second of silence. It just
crazy.
Kept the, like, 55 minutes straight through.
It looked exhausting.
Yeah.
I bet. You need to have, like, a break at least. I feel like even as a viewer, and I don't, like, the only time I view is when we're on tour and we get to see incredible bands that either open or we open for them. And I always marvel at some of, like, the great in-between songs. And it's kind of those moments, like, those even mess-ups to me, like, I remember the most. Like, I'll, especially if they turn it into this, like, funny thing or if they have to restart a song, which was, like, what I feared most when we would play is, like, something goes wrong, you have to start over. But if you can turn it into something that is, like, a funny thing or whatever, I feel like just that, like, honesty of, like, this isn't just, like, me karaoke-ing up here. Like,
You want to pull it away from being, like, a Las Vegas, you know, like...
Like, production show. Nothing goes wrong.
Yeah.
Totally like scripted. If I wanted to hear, then I could just stay at home and listen to CD. I was just at a show a couple of weeks ago where the singer, like, he started the song with the third verse. And he got, like, he got about, whatever, a third of the way through that verse. And he's like, hold on a minute. I started with the third verse. Let's go back. I just did that so you guys know we're not playing tracks.
Yeah.
And then started the song over again and carried it.
Who was this?
I love that. It was Jason Isbell.
Oh, okay.
That's like, cool. And I love that. And I would say 9 times out of 10, most of the audience doesn't realize this.
Oh, yeah.
You guys know, but most of the audience isn't going to have any clue.
Yeah, I've mumbled my way through quite a few
Jared
lyrics.
Jared has mumbled his way through life. There's still one song that I'm nervous.
Oh, we gotta look it up.
Like I stare at Jared and I'm like, read my lips. These are the lyrics. Like, sing them
and
with
me. And it's like if you hear the one word, you're good.
Yeah,
you're good.
But then it's just Jared's gotten really good at just mumbling on stage.
Fake it till you make it.
It's an art. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just looking really emotional about it. Like,
some of the best do it. I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, you talked about Nashville and the brewery scene, and Patrick, you're probably dreading this part, but some home brewing. I want to hear about Jared's home brews.
Yeah.
And when do you bring some up for sampling?
Ooh.
He's got some bombs for you.
Yeah?
I got some bottle bombs for you. My last brew, which was a backyard brew, I used everything that grows in our backyard.
Cool.
So we have some mystery hops. We don't know what they are because there's like thousands of varieties of hops, so you'd need to take it to a lab or whatever. And then, you know, choke cherries and raspberries and sour cherries, and did this like this stout, I don't know, kind of like stone fruit stout kind of thing. And it was really good, but I forgot to pasteurize it, and it blew up. One day I went down in the basement and I saw one bottle and I was like, that's strange, I don't remember that falling over. And then I saw another like a week later, and I was like, oh, shit.
And you didn't hear it, because it can be pretty loud when they pop, right?
Yeah, but I didn't hear it, because it must have happened in the night or whatever. So then I brought up all 50 bottles, went outside, stripped down to my underwear. I'm like, all right, here we go.
Just start cracking them all? Oh my God.
And I went so slow, and I got, like, but I still got hit in the face by, like, probably 20 of them were just all foam.
I have some pretty good footage of
it. It was a time.
That's a good lesson.
Yeah, it was. There's a lot of learning. It's infinite learning, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And half of them are terrible, but you're proud that you did it.
Yeah, of course.
You know? Yeah.
It's got to be, remember when, maybe you can still buy them, but you could buy those like 2-liter brew at home kits in like a convenience store or gas station?
Yeah. Oh,
they've
got so many kits now.
Come a long way.
Yeah. But it's fun sourcing your own stuff and just trying it out.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
When are you going to start doing that? I'm shocked.
That question has been asked a lot.
Yeah.
But the problem for me is time.
Oh,
like, it's just to find the time to actually get it and to do it properly as well. So I don't have to be out in the front porch in my underwear.
Yeah, Walter White style.
Sampling your own, are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. I'm excited to... Maybe Pete will
maybe
get
someday.
Sip
we
on
actually
someday.
Did. I had a guy that I work with. His wife had bought him a kit years ago because we have a store here in town. So they'd done it on location through the radio station. She bought him the starter kit at that time. We're like, yeah, we're gonna do this.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say that was probably 6 years ago.
Oh wow. Okay.
Maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So
you can get way better kits now.
I bet you probably.
Oh yeah.
Probably could.
Yeah, they got good stuff.
But I'll just sample yours and then.
Yeah. I'll bring it next time.
Do they have brewery stores like they have like pot growing stores now?
like Brew Supply stores.
Yeah.
They're
all over. I think there's two in town.
Yeah. Oh, are there? Wow, crazy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they, but what about growing your own hops? Most of the wine stores have converted into because it's less wine is it's kind of going down a bit, but
because you're with growing your own hops, like you've got to have like 9 feet of space, right?
Yeah.
No, you don't have to. I would like to do it that way.
Yeah.
The house that we got just had hops growing on it, and it's all over our fence.
Our entire fence is just and like so we just start picking all these them. Vines, and then they're creeping up all over everywhere else too.
But I have seen a lot of people with the great rig where they got it going up, and then they take their little pulley and bring it all in.
Yeah.
I want to do that. Yeah.
Cool.
Because right now it's a mess. It's pretty, but
it's very
know.
Pretty.
Yeah.
It's very
I'm gonna next time I've got a trip south.
Yeah.
You gotta
swing
I might be knocking on your door.
Yeah.
Just give him one of those mystery the bottles that might blow up.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Dare you to open the vehicle.
Well, we're very excited for your set tonight with the Strombellas here at Bose.
Yes, we
There's
are too.
A pleasure hanging out with you guys.
Likewise.
As always.
And so new music kind of. Up here for right now.
4 a.m. voice memos.
2024 probably.
Yeah, 2024. Yeah.
Cool.
Maybe 2023. We'll see. But
maybe
yeah.
a single might
maybe.
Drop. Maybe.
Maybe.
Depends on how organized we are.
Yeah.
Keep being you.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Peter Michaels.
Patrick Bateman.
The Royal Foundry.
Follow Communal Creative Studios on the YouTube.
On
Do
YouTube.
The subscribe, the liking, all
Comment.
That kind of stuff. Comment, share.
Check it out.
And we'll be back with another episode.
One Wednesday.